Turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Look at the Word of God together. Jesus is teaching here about the kingdom of heaven. And he says this, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it." So Jesus is teaching about the kingdom of heaven, and he's speaking about a kind of merchant, a person who wants to buy precious jewels, well, particularly pearls. And many people interpret this scripture as Jesus being the pearl of great price. And it's a wonderful thing to say that he is. I'm not sort of diminishing that. But this merchant is the one who actually gave everything he had to buy pearls. And while we too give everything we have to follow Jesus, actually, we can't buy salvation. Salvation is a gift. Jesus came with the gift of salvation. Our response to his gift is to turn away from sin and the whole world and to believe in the good news. But salvation is a gift. And that means we can't earn it, we can't work for it, it's freely given by God. And so this parable, this story, is representing Jesus coming, leaving heaven to come to the earth because he values people. He sees people as the treasure in the earth. There are many people in the earth trying to find natural treasures or the resources of the world. I don't know if you've seen the program Treasure Hunters. It's been on TV recently. I just flicked on and saw this program on, I think it was on BBC, where this reporter decided to go to the coast of Australia and see if he could go diving with some experts to recover pearls or actually oysters, because pearls aren't sitting at the bottom of the sea. They usually are in an oyster. And he went diving off the coast. And they say, you know, actually the likelihood of finding an oyster with a pearl in it is 1 to 10,000. And this guy, off he went in his first diving exploit, went into the sea, and eventually managed to get to the bottom. It was a bit of a struggle for him because it's not his day job. And when he got to the bottom, he came up with this oyster. Hurrah! He was so happy he'd got one from the seabed, because they're not easily seen down there. And when they opened it, there was actually a pearl inside. And you should have seen this reporter. I mean, he was buzzing. He was like, "Can you believe it? I've got a pearl." And of course, he wanted to lay claim to the pearl. He didn't want it to go to the person whose company it was that sent the boat out and everything. But he said, "Look, I've got one." And Jesus is really wanting us to see the joy in his heart of finding people for the kingdom, of bringing people back to relationship with the Father through faith in Jesus. And it's not anything, I don't believe, it's anything of a duty to the Lord. It's his passion and it's his joy. When you receive Jesus and you are brought back, reconciled to right relationship with God, the Bible says heaven had a party. There was an explosion of joy in heaven, which is actually the true response to people coming into relationship with the Father through faith in Jesus. And Jesus doesn't come seeking and trying to find people for the kingdom with like a grudge or a kind of like it's something I've got to do. I believe it is actually love that makes him search for people. And it was love that searched for you. It was his love for you that made him find you and bring you into relationship with the Father. And people are so valuable to Jesus. He sells everything. That's you can tell if something or someone is valuable in anyone's eyes by what they do. You can tell if your friends think you're valuable by whether they stick to you in difficult times. You can tell whether people that are at work are valuable and think that you're valuable to them by the way that they might sack you first or try and keep you with everything they've got. And so you can tell whether people treat you as valuable, can't you? And you can tell whether, this is how really family life, relationships, the church is supposed to be. We are called to live out of that value system of the kingdom of heaven. We're to value one another and really be overjoyed about this life that we've been given, to value and to treat what God says is valuable with respect. This merchant, this is really a story about Jesus. His love is motivating the search, and it was his love that paid the ultimate price. And that price is a price that no man could pay. And we've been singing this morning about the sacrifice of Jesus, that his love went so far for you and for me and for the whole world that he was willing to give up everything and even die on a cross so that you and I could be in right relationship with God, be back at one with God. Isn't it incredible that Jesus makes us one with God in the Spirit? Bible says we're one in spirit with the Lord because he has removed our sin, made us righteous in the sight of God. Righteousness is a gift, which is the fruit of that righteousness is a walk, is what you do, but righteousness is a gift. And so Jesus values you and he values people. And these treasure hunters who spend their lives trying to find treasure is actually, in heaven's view, in eternity's eyes, is not valuable. And sometimes we need to switch our thinking about really what our value system is to line up with heaven's value system. Because if people are the most important priority to God, then we need to switch around everything in our lives so that what becomes important to us is the same as is important to God. Jesus, if it's important to you and people coming into relationship with you is important to you, then I want it to be important to me. I want my life, my thinking, everything that I do, my whole value system to be based on what's important to you. And if Jesus was willing to give everything he have, surely I need to be someone who will give everything I have for people. You're loving the message this morning, I can tell. I know it's bank holiday, and I know it's Sunday, but let's wake up to the reality of this message from Jesus this morning. The kingdom of heaven is exciting. It's about the Lord going to find jewels, people that are special to him. And if it's his value system, then it becomes mine. Yes, that it's something, if we're not bothered, if Jesus wasn't bothered, he wouldn't have come looking. If he wasn't bothered about you or me, he wouldn't have come. So thank you, Lord, that you came. Now, in this seeking to find, Jesus shows us how amazingly simple it is to find someone. So look with me to Mark's Gospel. And we're going to read here about how the master, or how Jesus, finds pearls. And it's so simple, you're going to think, are you really going to bring a message out of this? Yes, I am. It's so simple. Here we go. In verse 16 of chapter 1 of Mark's Gospel. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Now, if I was on the shore of Galilee walking along, probably my mind would have been on, where's the deck chair? My viewpoint would have been, what a beautiful scene. I just want to catch some sun and just sit down here and just enjoy the Sea of Galilee. After all, I've got time off. But Jesus simply walked along the shore of where people were working, and he saw two men. So I would have seen the sea, the sand, the sun. I have to be honest with you. Does anybody want to be honest this morning? But Jesus is on the beach looking for people. Okay, so that shows us how the master finds pearls. He goes looking. Not rocket science, is it? How will we find people for God? We have to go looking. And I love the simplicity of this and the almost natural thing that's spoken of in Scripture. Jesus walked. He didn't hover. He didn't suddenly appear. He walked along and saw. Now, I might have been tempted when I saw these two fishermen. My temptation would have been, let's not interrupt them. They're working. They're really busy. You know, they're busy with their jobs. They've obviously got family. They've got a business to run. Don't interrupt people who are working. And Jesus, he just walks along. He sees them. Now, I believe what he was seeing was completely different to what anybody has ever seen about them as people. Because Jesus sees about you things that are completely different to what people see. He sees the deepest need of our lives is actually relationship with God. It isn't all the other stuff. It's God himself. Personal relationship with Jesus. He also sees the need to come out of a futile life of work, family, shopping, cooking, cleaning, sleep. Ooh, day off. Work, family, shopping, cooking, cleaning, family, day off. Work. How many of you would ever find that life like that equals mundane? Because I think it's supposed to be. Because life isn't exciting without a relationship with God and without people coming into the purpose of God for their lives. Not just saying, God, come and bless my life, work, family, cooking, shopping, cleaning, rest. There's a bit more to life than the run of the mill. And if you've really, I know that you have a space in your life that God's created, that he made for his purpose, that goes way beyond just the things that people get on in life doing. We can even get saved and go back to doing work. Oh, and then we add church to that. We just add something else to the list. And God isn't looking for that. He's looking for Jesus to get hold of and to change our hearts so much that we come out of the mundane and we come into the purpose of God. And we walk with him through life, through work, seeing as Jesus sees people. Through family life, seeing differently. Through the cooking, the cleaning, there are things we have to do. It's not that suddenly everything's going to evaporate and we're just going to be on a cloud singing with the angels. It's a real life, but it's really different when Jesus gets hold of your life and takes you into his purpose. And you have been created, and every person who doesn't yet know God has been created by God and for him. Isn't that mind-blowing? Just because we are followers of Jesus Christ, probably in this room, it doesn't mean to say this is it. He is looking for more followers. He's looking to bring people into relationship with Him and into their God-given purpose. So this is the master at work, walking along the shore. Now, God's given me a phrase for this message and for what He wants to do in our lives. Personally, this is for me as well as you. Go walk about. Go walk about seeing. Now, it's an Aussie term. The Aborigines go walk about, but I'm not talking about their walk about. I'm talking about a walk about looking for people. Can you do that? I know you can. Go walk about. It means as you go, and you may intentionally go out to find somebody, or during your working days or whatever your days consist of, you are going walk about to see people. And I know that life can actually put a veil over our eyes and make us so self-focused that we miss the pearls that are sitting to be brought into possession of God, to be put in the hands of God. And so I believe that this simple walking about, seeing, is going to bring many people to Jesus and into their destiny. Isn't that doable? Say to the person next to you, that really is doable. And Jesus actually, you know, whenever Jesus said to us to go into all the world, and by the way, it doesn't mean pack your bags and go to China. We have to always start where we are. You may go to China one day. Our friends over here. In fact, they've come here to go back to China, I think, to Hong Kong. But it does mean where you are, you see it as your world, in the world you're in. Go into the world you're in and tell people the good news. And Jesus was in the world, you know, where was he? Was it in Galilee? So what did he do? He went walkabout. And as he was going, he saw Peter or Simon and Andrew. And as he saw them, what did he do? He said to them, come, follow me. Now, we're so used to this because we see it from our point of view. We think, from our perspective, that means I've got to respond. But for a moment, could we look at the heart of Jesus for these guys? He's essentially saying, I want you to be with me. Now, these are guys who probably never had somebody, and Jesus was already getting famous. He was already doing miracles and speaking in synagogue. They already knew about Jesus at this point. The other Gospels reveal that. But he saw that they would respond to this because they were amazed at how much he valued them. That he placed this incredible value on these two men, that I want you with me, and I want you to follow with me, and I want you to learn what I want to teach you. I want to train you in these things so that you can actually go and fish for people, because people are the pearls, not your business. And anything else in our lives is secondary to people. As soon as working, you know, in our world, the business life, the world, money, the drive for success can supersede everything and devalue people immediately. Devalue family life. Devalue your spiritual life because it just becomes the priority about everything that we do. But Jesus says, look, I take people as my priority and I'm always looking for people. I found you because I valued you so much. I thought you were significant to me. That I wanted you to be with me and follow with me. Come after me. Just a few words from Jesus, we have repercussions that go down through history. Because these guys heard those words, they responded, because people won't respond until they hear the words. The Bible says that people can't believe unless they first hear, and they can't hear unless there's a preacher. Now you could say, is this preaching that Jesus is doing on the Sea of Galilee? But I would say it's very much preaching. Come follow me is preaching. Because Jesus is speaking the purpose and destiny of God into the lives of two people. And by doing that, it starts a movement of disciples. And these two were the ones who actually were the foundations, part of the foundation of the new church, the early church, when the Spirit came. And from these, all disciples have been made, including us. We are disciples because they were made disciples and they made disciples. So we have spiritual connection and lots of thanks one day to Simon and Andrew. Thanks for responding. And thanks for preaching in your generation, so that there were others who preached to us, so that we could be saved and go on and preach in every generation. Wow! Snowball effect of come follow me. Now there's another time where this happened in Jesus' life. There were many times, many situations, but in John chapter 4, doesn't Jesus make life doable? You know, when we say go into all the world, we can find it a bit daunting. But Jesus makes it doable. You might be planning to go to the beach this afternoon. I don't know. But you could walk along the shore and see someone. And there'd be like a witness of the Spirit. There'd be something going on and you'd be saying, Lord, do I need to get and talk to that person? Just by looking, you will find. But if you don't look, you won't find. Like that treasure hunter, if they don't go diving, ain't gonna get no pearls. If they just pray, they're not gonna come up on the surface and float. Got to get rid of all super spirituality and be the real people that Jesus wants us to be. Come follow me. Jesus makes it simple and he speaks to them. He sees them and speaks. Now, in John chapter 4, another brilliant moment, a life-changing moment in the life of this woman, a Samaritan woman. Verse 4, now he had to go through Samaria and he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of the ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, he sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His own disciples had gone into town to buy food. They're looking for food. The Samaritan woman said to him, you're a Jew, and they begin this conversation, you know, how can you ask me for a drink? So Jesus sits down, tired. He's on a journey. And in this particular time, he's not walking about. He's walking about, but then sitting down at a well. And this woman comes along, and he sees destiny. And so what does? He starts a conversation. Say, starts a conversation. I mean, this is so simple. He starts a conversation about their common ground. He was at a well where people came for water. So what do you talk about? Water. You don't suddenly launch into, God loves you and he's coming back. Whatever. You say, he hooks into a relationship with her just at that moment and he says, give me a drink. But that opens up a whole lot of cultural stuff, and we won't go into that just yet. But the conversation wasn't actually determined by the woman. Jesus kept kind of guiding the conversation to eternity. And then a little bit further on to revelation that I'm the Messiah. And then a little bit further on to he's the Savior of the world. So give me a drink ended up with a whole town being saved and a revelation that Jesus is the Savior of the world. I wonder what one conversation with one person from you will lead to. One conversation that you intend to start for the purpose of leading someone to know Jesus. The consequences for eternity and for people are massive. If we take on board the way that Jesus sees people and what he wants to do to connect people back to God. They are disconnected. They don't know anything about Jesus. Their lives are a mess, full of sin. They need us to go and talk to them and tell them about Jesus. The disciples came back and were confused that Jesus, a rabbi, was talking with a woman. And I love this because Jesus doesn't sort of say men minister to men, women to women. He actually breaks down every barrier. Now, I believe in wisdom. This is in a public place, so a man is ministering to a woman where everybody can see. So that's, we need wisdom with evangelism. But he doesn't say, I'm not going to not talk to you because you're a woman. And women don't say, I won't talk to you because you're a man. Hello. He broke down the dividing wall and he made us one in Christ, neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, all one in Christ Jesus. And so Jesus, he only has one thing on his mind. He sees that woman. Now, that woman was devalued by the town that she was living in because of her lifestyle. She'd had quite a few husbands. But Jesus doesn't devalue sinners. He actually died for sinners. That's how much he values them. Oh, don't you love this Jesus? So he starts a conversation which you and I can do. We can sit down in a cafe and start a conversation. We can go walk about and be surprised who God will open your eyes to see to start a conversation. The disciples come back, see him talking to this woman, and in verse 31, they said to him, Rabbi, eat something. They came back with falafels, hummus, just some nice, a few fish. Yeah, they eat a lot of fish, fried fish. And they come back with their little lunch snack, or evening snack, whatever it was. And come on, you need to eat something. Verse 32, but he said to them, I have food to eat that you don't know anything about. In other words, you're on a different level to me. You're flying at 10,000 feet, not degrees. I'm flying at 30,000. You're on a completely different level. I live at a different sight view. And they said to him, could someone have brought him food? Jesus said in verse 34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. So he's communicating that his work is talking to this woman and bringing her knowledge and bringing her to faith in Jesus. He said, my food is to do this. And then he said, do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes, and look. Open your eyes and look. The harvest is ripe. Look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Look at the fields. Look, and fields always speaks about the world. It speaks about people. And he's talking to his disciples, open your eyes, lift them up to a different height, a different level. Stop walking around with this kind of, I can think 6 feet, 5 feet, I just think from my height down. I want you to lift your eyes up and see with the eyes of faith. See, Jesus always wants his disciples to have faith sight. What's faith sight? It's seeing what the Word of God says. And what does the Word of God say? The harvest is ripe. Can you see it? This is what God's saying to you and me today. The harvest is ripe. Do you believe it? Faith comes from hearing the Word. Jesus doesn't say the harvest will be ripe, because he says, don't say 4 months' time and we'll be able to see harvest. He says, now faith is. Not when you leave the meeting. Now, as you hear the Word, lift up your eyes, the eyes of your heart now. I'm speaking to your spirit and I'm saying, see, the harvest is ripe. It's ready. People are ready for Jesus. I'm not saying it, although I am preaching. It's the Word of God. It's actually the Word of Jesus. It's as much of a truth as that he forgives all your sins. He's saying the harvest is ripe. Lift up your eyes. In other words, look spiritually at the people around you and see that it is ready. Time for harvest. Now the disciples were where you and I live, and I have to confess my own inability sometimes to lift up my eyes. Because I can be only focused on my little world, my church world, my personal world. I can only be focused on my kind of ambitions or my goals. And that can actually just be the only thing I'm looking at. And Jesus wants to all the time bring us and lift us up into a heavenly vision. After all, you will only ever be satisfied and fulfilled when you live with a heavenly vision. You will be bored. Your life won't work as intended unless you lift up your eyes and see that the harvest is ripe. And see that God has a plan for you to bring people into relationship with him. That's his plan. And so the disciples and you and I can spend our lives just looking at us and not even thinking about the world that isn't saved. Not even considering the people that walk past you in Sainsbury's or Asda or Tesco's, wherever you shop. And not even seeing when you're having a day off walking by the shore. And Jesus, when he walked, he saw. And even when he was tired, he saw the woman as a harvest field. And the difference between him and me is sometimes I don't see the harvest because I'm not looking. And I believe the Lord wants to this morning shift or kind of inspire your eyes, the eyes of your heart, your faith eyes, and to see with those eyes that people are ready for Jesus. And that they're going to come across your path or you're going to come across theirs. And you are going to have a conversation with them that will lead them to Jesus. Now, sometimes we can look at people. I had a situation this week where, quite honestly, the harvest field that I was looking at, particularly this young man, was a pain in the neck. And he really was a pain in the neck. I was waiting in the car. We had a, was anywhere around where we had the downpour this week? The rain was so heavy. It was like a monsoon. And I arrived for a meeting and I was waiting in the car for the rain to stop. And this car drove up, and they're quite nice wide bays outside here, outside the church building. And this other car drove up alongside mine. Plenty of room. And how many of you know, if a door of a car opens, leave as much room as you can, otherwise they're going to, bosh, hit your car. But I saw this young couple, about 30-year-olds, and this teenage boy, he must have been about 16 or 17, drive up. And the teenage boy got out the car first, and he'd clocked me, he'd seen me there, and he opened the door, and he literally slammed it out into my car. The harvest field is ripe, brothers and sisters. And I thought, this guy's a pain in the neck. And I went, you know, when you're initially kind of, something's wrong done to you, which they had done something wrong. He had. I was like, what? What? Thinking at least he's going to say sorry. And he walked off as if nothing had happened. And I've got electric kind of windows. I pushed my window down. Oi! I said. Oi! This guy, you know, typical. Rain coming down, hands in pockets. What? I said, I got out the car, found a little umbrella. I mean, the rain was pouring. Walked around the side of my car. Saw the damage. I said, you just damaged my car. No, I didn't. Of course, you know, this generation never going to fess up, as we say, confess. No, I didn't. I said, you just damaged my car. This other couple just ignored me and walked on together. But they got a bit nervous when I went round to have a look at my car. I think they thought I was taking their number plate. So they thought, oh, there could be repercussions. So they came back and looked at my car. And as they were doing that, I saw the teenager again. And I said, listen, all I'm asking for is sorry. So all I want is sorry. And he said, but I didn't do anything. I said, just acknowledge what you did and just say sorry. I said, you've damaged my car. And he said, sorry. So I put my hand out. I gave him a big grin. I said, that's okay. God bless you. He let go of my hand and he went, and then he took hold of my hand and he said, I'm really sorry. And a big grin on my face, big grin on his, and I said, God bless you. Now, sometimes those kind of people are difficult to win because we have to walk in forgiveness. When those who need Jesus sin against us. But what are we supposed to do? Forgive as we have been forgiven. Now, afterwards, I said, Lord, did I do the right thing? Maybe the oi was a bit strong. Oi! You should have heard me. The whole town would have heard me. But I just felt he had a revelation of Jesus in that moment. An accountability for sin and forgiveness. But sometimes it's a challenge to us, isn't it? To know that everybody we meet, I don't know if you've ever worked in prisons or with, I've gone into prisons before. And when you hear some of the things that people have done, as much as we are forgiven, Jesus wants to forgive them. Because he came for the whole world to reconcile people to God through faith in Jesus Christ. And you know, you and I, as we walk about, as we have conversations with people, we are simply representing the most special person in our lives. Can I just say that again? We are simply representing the most special person in our lives. And so when anything's really special to me, it's not going to be a problem for me to bring it up into conversation. In fact, my conversation will be full of Jesus and his church. I can't help it. You ask me about anything and somehow Jesus will come up in conversation. I don't like these people who sing, "I love you, Jesus," and then don't even use any reference point to Jesus during the week. I think there's a bit of a hypocritical thing going on. Because if you love him on a Sunday, surely you love him on a Monday. And surely you love him on a Tuesday. When your mates don't agree with having faith in Jesus, you're not going to be embarrassed because he's the most special person in your life. There's nobody more special than Jesus. Even your husband, your wife, your family, Jesus is it. He is the most important person ever. And so we can't help but talk about the one we love. And so it's a natural thing to stop, chat, and bring him into conversation. And it's a natural thing to tell your story of how he saved you and what prayers he answered for you and what he has done to change your life. And I don't believe that we are meant to find this difficult, talking to people about Jesus. I believe it's doable to go into the world and represent Jesus and talk to people and bring Jesus into the conversation. And I believe if we're looking and seeking, we will find. And that's really the goal that I believe God's got on his heart for this morning. Simply that your eyes will be open to see. And that you will see that as you walk about and as you go through life, you will have connections with people or moments with people that will actually bring Jesus into their lives. Now, we never want to be people who don't do what we preach. And I was telling our leaders this last week how Pastor Andrew and I have heard from the Lord that we are to, during our day, whether it's lunchtime or whatever, whenever we can, outside meetings, different stuff that we do, is to actually go and look for somebody for Jesus. And we've been going out really regularly in the last few weeks. And I'd like to tell you a couple of stories of what Jesus has done while we've gone looking. Because I know that he isn't going to do it if I stay. And so it's an intentional thing. We actually decide to go out, go on a prayer walk, and often Jesus would send people out in twos. And I think it's quite good sometimes to say, hey, let's meet up and go walk about. And because you've heard this message, you know what that means. It means teaming up and praying as you go, Lord, connect me, connect us with someone. And we were on this walk, and this one didn't come to anything. But I want you to tell you that it doesn't always. And we were walking, and this lady was carrying two of the heaviest bags, both sides, two bags on each hand. And honestly, she was struggling. Like, she was puffing, panting, really, really laboring. And we were walking behind her, and I clocked her, and I was praying for her and asking God, is this someone we can talk to? And as we went by, I leveled with her and I said, gosh, those bags look heavy. It's a door, isn't it? So it's just a conversation around what she's carrying. I said, those bags look really heavy. Would you like me to carry them for you? And she said, no thanks. I said, okay. Have you got far to go? Trying again. No, I'm fine. And I thought, well, sometimes it's a bit like that. People say, no, I don't want to talk to you. And I'm not interested. I don't want you to help me. So that moment, my walkabout was never, no problem. Now, some Christians will go walkabout, trying to find someone to witness to and go, it doesn't work. But sometimes people aren't the right people for you to meet. You just have to keep going until you find. It's like the pearl merchant. He keeps going until he finds one. And it doesn't matter if that one wasn't the one. You just got to keep going. And then there was this this lady, this older lady actually. She'd been to a funeral of her sister, and Pastor Andrea met her first at the door in the house, and she saw your dog. And she looked at your dog, Reg is his name, and said, "Oh, that's my sister saying to me that everything's all right," because she had a dog like that. And Pastor Andrew tried to talk to her at that moment. You know, you can get into all kinds of theological discussions which will actually not be any good at that moment. But you just talked about the dog and how, and she talked about her sister, and she went away. Anyway, a couple of hours later, we went walkabout, and we walked all the way around Wellington around, and we came back to Wellington Cemetery, walking past the road that leads past the cemetery. And this woman's coming out. I mean, the timing was supernatural, because who would have ever thought that nearly 2.5-3 hours later, the same woman would be walking down the drive. And we'd gone all that way, not seeing anyone. We tried to talk to different people, but it wasn't happening. So we're nearly home, and I'm almost disappointed at that point that I hadn't seen anybody. And then we saw this woman. I said, "Look, it's her. It's the same woman." So she comes down. I'm thinking, this is a divine appointment. But I can tell you, it only happened because we went. It wouldn't have happened. And so we stood there, and actually she, I was telling some of you already know this story, but she said that she went to church. We got onto the topic, which is the message of our hearts, Jesus. That's the topic of our hearts, isn't it? So he will come out. Whatever is in your heart will come out. And we started to talk about Jesus. And she said, "Well, I believe in what David Attenborough says." I said, "All right. Well, we're from apes, you know. And I believe him." And I thought, once again, you can't get into a theological discussion, because she's 84. I've only got her for 2 minutes. And all she'll ever know is an argument about apes. And I believe we're made in the image of God, not apes. However, I ain't going to talk about somebody who believes David Attenborough at that point. She needs to believe in Jesus. So she said, well, I go to church. I said, well, what matters is not what you believe about apes. What matters isn't where we've come from. It matters where you're going. And we managed to give her the gospel, because she said, "Well, I go to church, I'm fine." I said, "Well, that isn't going to get you into heaven. Only accepting Jesus Christ will get you to heaven. And I don't care how good you think you've been, it's not good enough. Because only perfect people go to heaven, and only Jesus can make us perfect. So without Jesus, no heaven." So she didn't respond either, but I'm encouraged, because it was an opportunity for her to be reconciled to God. And another one we had was with a neighbor of ours, Sandra and our neighbors. And we've prayed for this for years to happen. And haven't we? We've prayed for our neighbors. We haven't been able to. We love them very much. They're amazing people. But we haven't really been able to witness to them. But we got an incredible opportunity this week with a woman who actually was going through a trauma. We were able to minister to her, bring real spiritual healing, and give her a real understanding about Jesus and about the place that he takes in terms of forgiveness and mercy. And it was just phenomenal. And I actually believe that unless we go looking, we won't find. And if we don't find them, we will miss our destiny and they will miss theirs. Because our destiny is linked to the lost. Your future is linked to the lost. Jesus didn't come for the righteous. but for those who needed a Saviour. And our destiny, personally and as a church, is actually going to be to connect up and to bring that connecting power of the name and the good news of Jesus to the people that we meet. And what I love about these situations is that Jesus, when he went walk about on the Sea of Galilee and on the shore, and when he went to the woman at the well, it wasn't people he already knew. And I think the danger of us as Christians is we get locked into our own people group. Well, it's me, my family, and my church, and my friends, and that's it. But these are strangers that Jesus is reaching. And I believe we're here for our families, our friends, the people we already know, but we're here for those we haven't yet met. And that is an exciting agenda that's on heaven's mind. This is heaven's agenda for you and for me. So lift up your eyes and see. The fields are ripe. The Lord wants to pray that we will go out, for us to pray that we will go out and see people spiritually and connect them with the Lord. Let's stand.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith South West, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log on to our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.